I'll say what I want. It's the news, according to me. Well, good morning. I guess is it still morning? It's 10:10 a.m. 10:10 a.m. Wednesday, May 17th, 2023. I am way behind. I got up early this morning. I was going to get the show done. I have been really distracted this morning. I got inspired to do a few other things. And frankly, just left this thing hanging. So I appreciate that. I appreciate your patience, I guess I should say. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. What does that mean? What does that even mean? What am I appreciating? Appreciating my lack of concern about you hearing my show this morning. I guess I don't know. I appreciate the fact that I have more higher priorities than you. That's funny. I've got, I was busy. I already emptied out my chai cup. It's gone. Doing other things. I have my sweet tea here with me. My sweet tea. Sweetie's off working. That's why she's, I got her busy doing something productive. Somebody has to work around here. Somebody's got to make some money around here. Pay these bills. Got to buy more stuff for my Jeep. I have I tell you what, there are a lot of things that you can put on a Jeep. Speaking of Jeeps, there's a lot of stuff. I have not fallen victim to the intoxicating clickbait stuff that's out there. There's a lot of stuff. I'm just saying, if you got a Jeep Wrangler or a Gladiator, you can spend $100 million on thing and just barely be keeping up with it. And you either kind of have to do one or the other. You kind of have to go all in or all out on the thing. You can't just have one thing on there. If it's either a purist kind of plain Jane Jeep, or you want a, I don't know where that term came from, plain Jane. But if you either just a plain old Jeep, just a normal purist kind of Jeep, or you need to go all out and put the V8 in it, do the high lift with the 35s, the 37s, whatever you're gonna put, 41s, whatever you're gonna do on there. Big bumpers, winches, all that stuff. I'm not even at the halfway point. I got a few extra things on there because what was on it was not in good shape. So I ended up getting some aftermarket stuff. It's a bargain Jeep. I bought a bargain, and actually I got a good deal on it. To come to think of it. I apparently bought it before they started going up in price, because right now you can't get that anything like what I got for anywhere near what I got. I'm amazed the guy took the price. I can't believe he took it. Offered him cat. Now maybe I don't know what's going on here, but there's some things it needs work on. It's a used Jeep. It's got 100-some thousand miles. It's got, almost 200,000 miles on the thing, but I'm not getting it for an everyday driver, for something to depend on to get back to work. It's to pull behind our motorhome so I can use it as a little get around car when we get to where we're going. That's what it's for. It's just a fun vehicle. And we had the top off of it once already this spring. It's probably going to be happen again here before the end of the week, I would think, because the way, temperature's supposed to get a little bit warmer. But it's going to be kind of a summer vehicle for us to play around with. Nonetheless, hop in and go get a snack. Go get ice cream or something. It's kind of that kind of a vehicle. Or take it camping and do stuff. We have, besides all that, this isn't the Jeep show, by the way. You haven't tuned into the Jeep show, in case you're wondering. I just happen to be off on this Jeep bent right now for some reason. Today's going to be a day working outside. I'm going to be outside working at the house all day long. Of course, the Jeep is just sitting there, and it might distract me a few times because there are a few things I need to do with it. But I got to get the yard mowed, got to get some things burnt, cut down, clipped, trimmed, you name it. Might do some work on the motorhome. That's got to be de-winterized. I'll get that done. A few things like that. So anyway, what's going on? So Elon Musk had a really interesting interview over the last couple of days, and it's been... I've heard clips of it. I've heard people post clips of this thing. Now, what's the it's not so much what he said. It's how he waited to say what he said. There was this very dramatic pause before he said what he said. And what he said wasn't that, if he had just said it right away, it wouldn't have been notable at all. It was the way I think he was being confronted. If I understand the context of the question this guy's asking him, so you know, you got these people around you and they're coming to you. Are they telling you, you know, you need to watch what you say with your tweets because it's going to cause problems with the brand, blah, 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 blah. And he hesitates and he looks off and, you know, to the right, and he looks off into the, because they're kind of up in front of this little stairway where there's a production facility or something. He's being interviewed. Of course, now he's running that many things. You're not disconnected very far from anything. So he's right there and he's looking out in the shop and he's kind of looking out. So what's going on in the factory area there, whatever it was. I don't know if they're producing rockets or airplanes or cars or cell phones. I don't know what they're doing out there. Who knows what he's up to. And he waits. It's what seems like forever. It's probably only 15, 20 seconds before he answers the question. But he thinks about what his answer. You know, he's just not going to come up with an answer. And if it was me, I'd just flap my mouth and see what comes out of it. And I try to pull the words back in as I realize they're leaving my lips. As I say something stupid. He, much like I do with this show. Well, I'm not gonna go down that road. There's a path I could go down right there. I think I'm just gonna stay with this Elon Musk. And so he's thinking about what he's gonna say, and he's unlike some people I know very closely. As I look in the mirror, so it's funny how I can make myself laugh. You know, I'm sitting here in this rubber room, making myself laugh. So he answers this question, and basically what he says is, "I'll say what I want." Okay, kind of like, you know, he's got this "I don't care" money kind of thing. I mean, who's going to tell him not to say what he wants to say? Now, I don't know what you think of the guy. I don't necessarily. I know that he's very sympathetic to the Christian faith. I do know that. I've seen him be interviewed by some Christian folks, and he basically is very accepting of the Jesus' teachings. But he also is very he doesn't twist them, which is interesting. When I hear Democrats like Nancy Pelosi or Al Sharpton, some of these people who will quote scripture from Congress, they use it to twist for a political gain, to get a political social cause across, to stick it in your face kind of thing. Well, Jesus said this. Yeah, well, Jesus didn't kill babies in the womb either. So And I've heard people justify, say, well, Jesus would be for abortion. They've actually said that. You don't hear it very often because they know better than to go there. But they must believe that if they're quoting scripture for other things, they must believe then that it's okay, that abortion is something that Jesus would approve of, if they're so concerned about what Jesus is approving of. But don't quote scripture to me to get your way in one thing and not take it the whole way. It's blasphemous. It's not that I'm mad about it. It's that I'm concerned for your eternal soul when you face God and say, and here you have put words in his mouth. How's he going to take that? What do you think he's going to think about that when you stand before him? When you've twisted what he said, when you've used his word as a weapon to kill something. Oh my goodness. That went down quite a trail there for real quick. So Elon makes this statement. Mr. Musk makes this statement. And The thing that I respect about his ability to say that, and this is, you know, anybody else could, like Joe Biden could say the same thing. He'd say, well, I'll say what I want. The problem with it is Joe Biden doesn't believe you should be able to say whatever you want. He respects his own ability to do that or his own right to say whatever he wants. But he doesn't believe you have the right to say, well, that's not legal speech, as I've heard some Democrats in the House say. They have said that. Well, you have the right to say anything, you know, any kind of legal speech, you have the right to say whatever, any kind of legal speech. What is legal speech? You tell me what legal speech is. Let's just go down this hole right here. I wasn't going to get that much into this whole thing right now because I do want to talk about the Carrie Lake trial, which is, let me just mention this, if I forget to talk about it. The Carrie Lake trial is something you need to look into because there is an expert right now looking into all this voter crap, and that's exactly what it is. And there are some, these anomalies that they're calling anomalies, it is serious stuff. I mean, this is... It's no wonder she's fired up about this. And I don't know what's going to happen with this judge. I don't know what's going to happen with this case because I've seen cases go off the deep end because people are just woke about stuff or whatever's going on with them. I don't know. They're just deranged. But this is the same kind of stuff with the Durham report, how the left is twisting it around and the things that went on. Obama was, by the way, briefed. Obama and Joe Biden were briefed on the investigation that was going on with the Trumps. The Crossfire Hurricane thing. They were briefed on it. They knew all about it. Didn't seem to have a problem with it. Now I would venture to say that they were more than briefed. They were pushing it. But that's my opinion. I don't know. I don't have any evidence of that. Let's go down this rabbit hole where I was going with this stuff, with this free speech thing. People will say, oh, you don't have the right to say fire in a crowded theater. Yes, you do. Oh, absolutely you do. Especially if it's on fire, but you have the right to say it anyway. I know I've used this particular example before. You have the right to lie. You have the right to slander someone. The problem is, there are consequences to that. There are consequences to yelling fire in a crowded theater. If you cause a stampede and someone gets hurt, guess who gets blamed for that if there was no fire? If you cause someone else's liberty to be infringed, you should be held accountable for that. I don't care if you're working for the FBI, or I don't care if you're the DOJ. I don't care if you're the Attorney General of the United States. If you infringe on someone else's liberty, you don't have the power to do that. The government doesn't hold your liberty for you. They are there to protect your liberty. That's what they're there for. The problem with most politicians now is that they think that the Congress, that the government has given us our rights. That's where they go with this whole Second Amendment thing. The Bill of Rights is a list of acknowledgments from government, from the bureaucrats, because we're supposed to be a self-governed society, which isn't taught anymore in school. You see, there's basic understandings here. If you're self-governed, that means you are also self-responsible for yourself. That means you will be accountable for the things you do wrong. There's accountability. With great liberty comes great responsibility. And with that said, you as a sovereign individual who has the right to rule their life, now whether you choose to give that right up to your creator or not, that's your business. No one has the right to make you or force you bow down to the King of Kings. That's up to you. No one can force you to do that. They can't compel you to do that. They can, however, they do have the right to encourage you to do that or to persuade you. not through physical coercion, not through anything like that, just through debate, freedom of debate, freedom of speech. And you have the right to lie. You have the right to do a lot of things, but there is consequences to that. If someone is hurt, injured, or their liberty is taken away because of that, you guess who gets the responsibility for that? Yeah, you are. You're held responsible for that. Now, in the event of an accident, then it becomes manslaughter. This Penny case, I think it's this Marine who... It's interesting, when you look at the dollars amount, there's two funds right now being set up. One is for the legal funds for the defense, for Penny's defense. This guy who choked, I do want to talk about this particular one. I might even write this down because I want to back up on this because I really need to talk about this one. It is a serious, I'm going to write it down, the Penny case here. I'll write this down because I want to talk about it, make sure I don't forget. But this right to freedom of speech is very, very important. Now, yes, social media does not necessarily, it's a private, like YouTube is a private company. They can do what they want with you. However, you volunteer to be on their platform. However, there are some laws in place that recognize that, hey, when you open this up to, if you want to become an editor of YouTube, which they become their own editor, it's an editorial now, they edit things that are on YouTube. So now this is YouTube's platform, not your platform, not your channel, not your platform. You have to comply with their message. That's very different than them allowing you on the platform and then trying to protect the other individuals from people who are acts of violence, that kind of thing. I mean, there are things that they should be able to control on the platform that are harmful to others. Not just disinformation on their part. Well, we think that's disinformation. Well, it is this week, but next week it's going to be found to be true. And this whole idea, when a conspiracy theory is figured out to be, we think it came from a lab in Wuhan. Well, that's a conspiracy theory. Oh, that's a conspiracy. All these conspiracy theories. They've used the term conspiracy theory as it's fake news. It's just, that's their term for fake news. It's not fake news. It's a theory about a conspiracy that's going on. There are people conspiring, and I have a theory that these two people are conspiring over here to do something. It's my theory. When it's found out that it's true, do they ever come back and say, well, it's that conspiracy theory is a conspiracy. It's not a theory anymore. It's a fact. It's a conspiracy fact. When have you ever heard that? It's a fact that these people conspired. It's a fact that Anthony Fauci was conspiring to do gain-of-function research in the Wuhan lab on coronaviruses. That is a fact. And here he is in charge, getting money under the table from one thing, making sure funding is going there, and he's getting paid. He's the highest paid bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. Or he was. I don't know if he's retired now or not. I don't know what's going on with it. But you didn't have the right to say that on social media because they would censor you. They would block you, ban you, kick you off. Oh, no, that's not part of the narrative. We can't say that. It's becoming to the point where they're doing it physically now and in person. There was an individual at some kind of a council, like a big banking council, I think it's the Hothauer Group or whatever it is. It's pretty much associated with the Warren Buffett group. He's one of the main stakeholders in the Hathaway, whatever it is. They're having this big meeting. I think it was over in Europe. And this one guy got up. He was scheduled to get up. He had a proposal that he was going to give. He was accepted there. He was invited to be there. Wasn't like he got up and grabbed the microphone away from somebody. They gave him like 6 minutes of time or whatever it was he was supposed to have. A little thing goes off and you get your time to talk. And he started talking. He started mentioning and confronting facts about Bill Gates. Now, the Warren Buffett program, the Hathaway Group or whatever it is, they give a lot of money to Bill Gates for humanitarian efforts. Bill Gates was very well known. It's very well known that Bill Gates was good friends with Jeffrey Epstein. Went to the Epstein Island several times. And this guy mentioned it, brought it up, and of course people started getting really upset with him for even bringing it up. And his concern was for the brand, this banking brand that they were associated with Jeffrey Epstein because, through by giving and participating in Bill Gates, you know, stuff. It was a legitimate concern. His microphone was shut off. They had off-duty police officers there working as security. Some of their security detail was off-duty police officers. Came up and put the guy in a cruiser, took him to jail. Booked him for trespassing. You're invited to an event. You're slated as a speaker. They arrested him for saying something they didn't like. That's what they arrested him for. He wasn't trespassing. This is going to be an interesting case, in my opinion. They were shutting him up. What was sad about it was this guy was doing it under the color of law. It's one thing for security to remove you from a private, you know, facility. It's very different now when the law gets involved in arresting you for something that is not he didn't break the law. He was being arrested for something he said. Trespassing was not part of it. He's going to have an interesting case there when he shows them the invitation that he had to be there, the slate that he had to speak at that time. What they were arresting him for was his speech. And they have the right to kick him out if they want to kick him out. That's their business. It's a private thing. It's more of a private business, private affair than even social media is. Because social media has the implication that it is a public square. And that's how they absolve themselves from being sued by somebody who posts something that's not true. But if they're going to be the curator, if they're going to be the editor, then they now shouldn't get those. There's a section 201 or whatever it is. They shouldn't get those protections from lawsuits if they're going to put themselves in the position of being an editor. That's what that amounts to. Now, let's talk about this case. Of the Marine who defended himself and others on the subway train. This guy, they're making it sound like all he was doing was yelling and wanted food and he was desperate. He wanted help. And instead he got killed. Now, I've been on a lot of subway trains. I've been down a lot of streets where there are people asking for food, asking for money. They look pretty desperate to me. Some of them more desperate than others. Some of them look like you're acting desperate. You're not really desperate. This is your scam. This is your thing. You're just a panhandler. You're just out for whatever you can get. And those are the people that detest me, in my opinion. I don't mind helping somebody who really needs help. When it's somebody who's trying to scam me, it just makes me livid. You are abusing the creativity that God has given you. You're being creative about, I got this whole long story about, I just got out of jail and I'm trying to go see my son. I'm trying to get a bus ticket to get out of town to go see my son. And you know, if I just have another $20, I'll make it to... $20 just happens to be the price of, you know, certain. Well, anyway, they want this money. If I just get $20, I can get out of town. Well, sorry, I don't have any cash on me. Sorry, buddy. A month later, I see the same guy on the same street corner. I say, I've talked to you before. No, you haven't. I just got out of prison just yesterday. Oh, did you? Because I talked to you last month. Your name's Will. You know, that kind of thing. No, I'm not Will. I'm Bob. And they got this whole elaborate creative story that they can tell. You know, if you just took some time to do some writing, you know, with all these creative ideas you've got. You could probably sell a bestseller book. You could do something besides stand here and take people's money for and lie to them all day. That's what aggravates me. Now, if somebody's really hard up and they're desperate and they're, first of all, the first place I'm going to go is not going to be a street corner. If I'm desperate, I've got nothing left, and I'm living in a cardboard box, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to find some, there's plenty of services out there that will help me. I'm going to go someplace that's set up for people to be able to help me, not stand on a street corner and maybe you can get more money doing that. I don't know. These guys seem to be doing pretty well. When you see them finishing their day and they walk off and get into a nice car, drive away. Because they might just be driving to the gas station, be one of those people who, I was in town to visit my mom in the hospital and I can't get back home. I just need some gas to get back home. Oh, well, I guess you should have planned better. Sure, what happened to you there? I'll put some gas in your car. Maybe. I don't know. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Depends on the situation. But anyway, usually I start asking them some personal questions and then they start, that's when they back off. There's ways of getting around that stuff. You can corner them, but there's a lot of scammers out there. Now, so this guy's on the subway. He's a known offender. He's committed a lot of crimes. Let's just put it that way. He's been a known offender, and of course, Bragg they haven't prosecuted the guy. The guy should be in jail. Should be in someplace getting help somewhere. And he's out on the street. He's on the subway. He's yelling at people. Threatening to kill people, the way I understand it. Getting pushy and shovy and touchy and, that's assault, by the way. Not just bumping into somebody, but actually intentionally reaching out and grabbing them, pushing them. It's pretty threatening. Now, I don't know how you would react or how some people would react. Some of these reporters are like, well, you need to stop and just say, what do you need? What can we do for you? Do you need some food? Do you need some help? We can get you some help. You don't understand. These people are not negotiators. I don't know if anybody has ever run across someone who's on the subway platform or on the subway train yelling. They're not there for, they're there to demand something from you. They're not there to negotiate anything. It's a very different scenario than what these people are. Now, here's the question I would like to ask these folks, and I never get a chance to because I never get to talk to these people who are up there blabbering on about how, just people should have helped him instead of, okay? So when your daughter is on that train and this guy is in her face, he might be twice her size. And a Marine steps up in between this guy and your daughter. Your daughter's terrified. She can't think at that moment about negotiating with this guy who's yelling at her. He steps up, and there's an altercation. And the guy gets hurt. Are you going to thank the Marine, or are you going to chastise him and sue him? Give money to the fellow who was hurt. Now, you can give money to the fellow who was hurt, whatever you want to do, whatever. But are you going to support his charges that he's going to levy on this Marine who stepped up? That's where we're at with this. See, when it becomes personal, when it's your family who was threatened, now I guarantee you, you're standing there with your five-year-old, daughter, and this guy comes up and he starts yelling at her, you're going to get involved. You're going to step in there. And you're going to say, hey, what can we do for you? Can we get you some food? What do you need, sir? I don't know, but I want something now. And I've seen this kind of activity, folks, personally, firsthand. I've seen these people. I've seen the kind of, well, I haven't seen these people. I've seen situations like this where the person is just unreal. It's out of control. They're obviously delusional or on drugs or something. I don't know. You don't know what's going on with them. It is hazardous. And they're going after this guy. Now, I don't know if any of you have seen the video. This is where it gets really interesting. I was involved in martial arts as a young man, very young man. And I was involved off and on throughout my years. I participated somewhat, also was a coach in AAU, Taekwondo coach, and I kind of done some stuff like that. I've been involved in self-defense classes and all those kinds of things. I've taught them and done all kinds of things. There is a thing, if you look at the way this Marine had this guy down on the ground, it's kind of like a jiu-jitsu type thing. It's called ground fighting. It's more like wrestling. I was in wrestling in high school as well. And it's kind of a combination of things. There's ways of controlling the person on the ground, and you can keep them controlled, but it's not the kind of thing where you're trying to hurt the guy. You're just trying to keep, trying to restrain the guy. And that's what he was doing. He had the guy, he was actually on his back. The Marine was on his back, and he was kind of had this guy held down, and there was someone else trying to get his hands constrained so he couldn't be waving him around and doing stuff. The guy had superhuman strength. I mean, this guy was not the Marine, the other guy. He was, fighting this guy off that was trying to get him. There's two people trying to do this. Now, while he was doing this, the guy, he had his chin, and I think the Marine did this on purpose. He had his chin, the perpetrator, not the Marine, as he was holding him, his arm was around his throat. Now, if this Marine knew anything about what he was doing, which I assume he did, you can, we call it choking him out. There is a thing where you can do that. You can take somebody, less than 30 seconds, they'll pass out. It's just a thing where you actually just, you shut the blood off to the carotid, and it happens very quick. You can put them to sleep and not kill them. They're going to pass out. And you're not choking their larynx. You're not choking them from air. You're choking their blood supply to their brain. And it just puts them to sleep right away. It's like, boom, they're just out. Now they can wake up pretty quickly too, but it gives you a chance to put them out, to control them. He was not doing that. I don't know if he knew how or not. I have no idea. He definitely had a good enough grip on the guy. He had enough of a hold on him that he could have done it. However, he very specifically had the guy's chin in the crux of his elbow. This is actually a way to protect the man's larynx. If you've ever had somebody got their arm around your throat and you're trying to choke you, if you can get your chin lodged in the crux of their elbow, where their bend in their arm is, it will keep your larynx from being choked. You can actually work your chin down in there, and it will protect your larynx if they're not too strong. You obviously, there's somebody can overpower you to the point where that doesn't do you any good either. But theoretically, it will keep you from choking out. And that's what this guy was doing. He was specifically holding his... I mean, this Marine could have changed his grip on the guy and done a lot more damage. It's not like he was intent on choking the guy. Now, I've seen a lot of cases of people being choked and strangled. I mean, I've watched a lot of documentaries, a lot of shows, a lot of training videos, all kinds of things about chokings. Strangulations are actually one of the leading causes of murders. However, people who are strangled, like if you get both your hands around a person's throat and they just strangle them, so usually that's usually a fit of, it's a usually a personal thing. It's a people who are trying to assassinate somebody or trying to kill somebody, they won't just normally strangle them. What they'll end up doing is it's somebody they know. Usually it's more personal. It's a fit of rage that usually causes a strangulation. You don't do that to defend yourself. You don't strangle somebody to defend yourself. Let's put it that way. And this guy apparently was, you know, supposedly he was put in a chokehold. He died the next day. Let's keep this in mind. He didn't die that day. He died the next day. Most generally, people who are strangled, who survive the strangulation, unless they were unconscious and they were continued to be strangled during that time and there was brain damage involved with this, this is getting down a really long way to go. This guy, first of all, the way he was acting, he wasn't passed out yet. But here again, we go with this whole "I can't breathe" thing. The cause of death needs to be determined before we. What amazes me already is they've already charged this guy with manslaughter, which actually is more of an appropriate. It's not murder. Accidental death is possible if they can determine the cause of death was the strangulation. Seeing what I saw, I have a hard time believing that it was this, that Penny, the Marine, was the cause of this guy's death. Again, I don't know if the guy had a heart attack. I don't know if he was, you know, I don't know what's going on with the guy. It is possible. Don't get me wrong. It is possible for someone to be strangled and then die the next day from that strangulation. But let's wait for the coroner's report. Of course, now again, it's really hard to determine. Get two different coroners, and all of a sudden one of them saying, "Oh, this guy died of an overdose." And the other one says, "No, he died because this guy had his knee on the guy's shoulder." Okay, whatever. So it's creating a climate here. It's creating a culture and a climate here where men who should be stepping up and protecting others are not able to do so because they're fearful for what, you know, hopefully this guy doesn't have kids. He's not going to be put in jail for a while. Now, this is really interesting. Show I was watching the other day, it was actually Joe Rogan. It was a clip from him, and this guy was talking about how the feds do this, how prosecutors do this kind of stuff. And this is what they'll do is they'll give you two different options. One is, we're going to charge you with this thing. It's going to put you away for 15 years, or you can confess to we're going to give you this plea deal. You won't go to trial, and you're going to be, all you have to do is spend 6 months in jail and 5 years probation. Well, if those are your choices, if those are your options, go to trial and potentially get 15 years for what they're charging you for, or just take the plea deal, not even have to go to trial, get the 6 months done and over with. Three may have already been in jail for 2 or 3 months, and now you got these charges on you. You're just going to accept the charges and go forward. This happens now. People like. What's the guy's name? Chris Wallace. So this happened to General, is it Flynn? I think it was Flynn, Mike Flynn. They gave him an option. This is basically what they did. They stepped in and said, we're going to charge you with this unless you want to confess to this, and we'll just give you this charge. Chris Wallace came out and said, well, he confessed to this or confessed to that, whatever. So I would never do that. If I was innocent, I would never do that. Like, oh, yes, you would, Chris. You don't know this guy's situation. Heaven forbid it should ever happen to you. But this is the kind of thing that they pull on you. It's, do you want what's crappy or do you want what's really, really crappy? These are your options. Take the gamble, go to court, maybe lose. Especially in a D.C. Can you imagine a D.C. court in that situation? So this is what this guy's facing right now, probably. And it's very real. This is when it gets real. You know, this is when it gets down to, you know, do you take your chances of possibly never getting out of prison again? For me, a 15-year prison sentence would probably basically be life at my age. Be like 75 when I get out. They take me out of the jail and put me in a nursing home, basically. No, I don't know. My dad was still working. He was 82, so it's... I might have a few years left on me. I'll just keep trucking along for a little while. See how it goes. But I'm going to try to stay out of prison. In the meantime. So this is the kind of stuff that goes on. I have a really hard time. Now, what's interesting about this, I was going to get to this point as well. This guy, the fellow who died, sadly, I mean, it's sad that the guy died. Bad situation. His family apparently didn't care about him enough. And they're the ones that want the loot. They want the lawsuit. The millions of dollars is what they want. This guy apparently they have a fund for him for his you know, I guess for him or his family or whatever his prosecution fund or lawyer fund, whatever it is they got going for him. I think he has about $360,000. Or maybe it's less, maybe it's $160,000 from like 40,000 people that are on his, that are going after him. Penny, on the other hand, has about $160,000 donors, or no, more than that. He has over $1 million. Donated to his defense fund. Now, I know many of those are probably Marines, because there are that's an exclusive club, folks. That is anybody in military service that you know it's they're kind of a big family in some ways. But there's also the Marines are just a special group. They look out for each other. There's a connection there that it goes beyond anything we can understand. And I think that there's probably a lot of those donors are probably fellow Marines. So it's, I don't know, but I'm just guessing. Because they don't want to see somebody who's willing to step up and be the man. Do what a man should do. Protect other people. And probably protect this guy from himself. I mean, you know, we've seen too many of these types of incidents where the crazy man is running around yelling, doing all kinds of stuff, and the next thing you know, he's pushing somebody onto a track right in front of a train. This happens. Way too often happens. He wasn't just a homeless man. He wasn't just an indigent. He was getting violent. He was public about what he was doing. He was yelling at everybody indiscriminately. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know what was in the guy's heart. I don't know what his potential was. But apparently somebody thought enough of it that he needed to be settled down. Of course, there was nobody there to do it for them. The government wasn't there to protect them. This gets back to the whole Second Amendment rights thing. It was an interesting discussion I had with this individual about this guy. The government thinks that they have given us our rights. Barack Obama was one who said recently, famously. This is actually when he was president or right before he was elected president in 2008. He made this statement. This is a guy who claimed to be a constitutional scholar. Some of these people, they hate the Constitution. Some of these people hate the Constitution so much that they study it. They study it for its weaknesses, the loopholes, the ways they can get around things. And those are the things that they worm themselves into, and they they work on it to try to dissolve it and try to get it to change, because they believe it's a living document that can be changed. The Constitution is not a living document. It is a set of principles. It's based on a set of principles that cannot be changed. They're founding principles that the Constitution was based on. This is where it gets really, the only thing you could really do is get more descriptive or more definitive about some of the issues within it. Try to define better what it's saying. And here's where we go to this thing. The Constitution, according to Barack Obama, the Bill of Rights, is a set of negative liberties. He calls it negative liberties. Now think about this for a moment. Think about that term. That term in itself is asinine. It is a real term, but it's an asinine term to apply it to the Constitution. The Constitution is established on this basis of individual rights. You have individual rights, and this Constitution is the government's guarantee that they will not infringe on those rights, and that that they will protect those rights to make sure that you're not. They're the protector of your rights, not the author of your rights. You were born with those rights. And the government doesn't have the right to take them away or infringe upon them in any way. Until you step across the line and infringe on someone else's rights, now there needs to be justice. When you do something that takes away from someone else's rights, now there's a problem. This is where the justice system steps in. This is what laws should be based on. Now, this idea of negative liberties, well, the Constitution only says what the government can't do to you. It doesn't say what the government should do for you. Well, here's where the problem comes in. The government is foregoven by the people, and anything the government's going to do for me is going to cost money, which means it's coming out of someone else's pocket. Whose pocket is responsible for me? How are they going to do that? Well, everybody has to pay income tax. Well, yeah, because we have to pay income tax because of this whole stupid social structure we've got going on here that will never go away, by the way. It's never going to go away. Well, I mean, it will someday, but not in our social structure the way it is right now. Because everybody's entitled now. They can't even call them entitlements. Entitlements, Social Security, all this other stuff. Welfare. And I have no problem with there being safety nets of some kind. However, it's, in my opinion, those should be privatized. I think there are plenty of generous people out there who would be happy to help if they had more money in their pockets. We live in a very generous society, by the way, despite what they might tell you. However, it's getting more and more difficult because the government takes more and more from us. And the more you make, the more they take. Not just percentage-wise. I mean, say you make $100,000 in a year, they want to take $40,000 away from you. If you make $200,000, no, they don't take 80. They take 90. It goes up the more you make.
Well, it should, because you don't need all that money.
Oh. I may not need it. You may not need 20,000. How do you feel about going out and buying an Xbox? You don't need an Xbox. I see plenty of people owning them that are getting government assistance. How does that work? Well, you didn't need it. Obviously, you can't eat it. What'd you need that for? Well, I got to have something to do. Yeah. Well, oh. You see, there's principles there. There are issues. There are problems. So the government doesn't have or shouldn't have the right to take away your rights. They're not the curator of your rights. They're just the protector. And they're basically, the whole Bill of Rights thing was mostly not even so much to be held against your neighbor. It was mostly to be held against the government, to keep the government from infringing on your rights. And this is the problem we run into with this whole thing, is that these politicians believe that they are the ones who give people rights. In fact, right after the Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act, was put into place, one of the first things that some senator came out and said, of all the rights this Congress has given the people, this is one of the most important ones ever. Excuse me? What planet did you just fall off of? Do you not understand the prince? This that spoke out in so many things, underpinned the misunderstanding that people have. And here this guy is an elected official working in the House, voting on bills every day, thinking that he's going to give the people more rights. All it did was take away our rights. Healthcare prices soon thereafter went up. And they knew this was going to happen. It was by design. This stuff happens because they want it to. They want to create a problem that they have the solution for. And that solution has its own problems that they know will get them to another. And they've said this. People working in the administration said, well, we knew that the Obamacare was not going to be, it wasn't going to fix anything, but it was going to lead to single payer. It was a way to get to single payer. They've been on record saying this stuff. It's on video. It wasn't going to fix anything. And they knew that. It's going to cause a problem. This is just like what they will do with immigration. Well, obviously the immigration system is broken and we need to fix it. And we need comprehensive immigration reform. Excuse me. The border was pretty much in pretty good shape. Would have been in better shape if you had funded it properly the way Trump wanted to do that. Regardless of what you think about Trump, the border wasn't as bad a shape as it is right now. It's going nuts. Well, it's because it's broken. But the border's secure. The border's secure. Oh. You just redefine what secure means. You just redefine what it means for people to come in because they're seeking asylum. They're asylum seekers. No, they're breaking in. They're not seeking asylum. I'm going to come and seek asylum in your home. Well, I just want to try to better my life. I want to eat your food and eat and sleep on your sofa. And in fact, I want you to sleep on the sofa. I'm going to sleep in your bed for you. How's that? You can do my laundry and all that stuff. I'm just looking for a better life. I'm not trying to rob you or steal anything from you. I'm just looking for a better life. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. You'd have me out on the street, cops called, everything else going on in a heartbeat. Put a gate up, lock it, build a fence around your house. So I think this must be rant day. This must be rant week. I think I've ranted. I have to apologize. I think I have ranted about everything. I think all week long this week. It's just I've done nothing but rant. So there you go. And I hope you appreciate it because it takes a lot of energy, a lot of effort on my part. It's therapy. And I've had it all built up for the last 6 months or so. I have been so busy and so stressed with other things that I just haven't had a chance really to do a really good rant. So just at this point, it's very healthy for me to get all this out. I appreciate everybody listening, subscribing, all the things that you guys do. So today is Wednesday. Tomorrow is Thursday. At this point, it looks like tomorrow I will be able to do a show. And in fact, it's kind of starting to look, by the end of the day, I might actually have a good idea of whether or not there's going to be a live show on Friday. And I believe there may be a live show on Friday at this point. I'm kind of hopeful for that. Now, I'm not sure what my weekend's going to look like. It could be pretty bad. But I'm not sure what's going to happen after this. I've got no idea what's on my schedule. I do know that tomorrow morning, I do have some voiceover work I got to get done later in the day. And the rest of my day is going to be pretty busy. So tomorrow morning, I'm hoping to get up pretty early, get things done, if I get enough things done today. Friday will be a busy day. However, the live show will probably be around the 8 o'clock hour Eastern Standard Time. So if you're around and you want to listen to it live, you're welcome to do that. In the meantime, let's pray for our nation, pray for our leaders. Their eyes will be open, their understanding will be understood. God bless, folks. Take care.